We turn in God's holy word to the Gospel according to John and to chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we begin our reading at verse 18 of this chapter. John chapter 15 from verse 18. The Lord Jesus speaks in this passage, and it's just after the Lord's Supper, still in the upper room. And he's teaching his disciples and he's preparing them for things that were going to lie ahead for them after he would die on the cross, rise from the dead, and ascend into heaven. John chapter 15, from verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. As you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. a little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. But most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. Well, let us turn in God's word once again, and as we come to our message, the verse, just one verse, I want to draw to your attention, although I'll be focusing on different verses, and not just from this passage, but elsewhere. But John chapter 16 and verse 4 is our main text for this evening. It's the verse where we find that word, remember. And we've been looking at different verses in the Bible throughout our communion season that refer to remembering, either God remembering or us remembering or Christ remembering. And here the Apostle John says to his disciples, But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Memory. The capacity to remember is something we take for granted. And yet without it, our lives would come to a standstill. Even worse, not being able to remember could lead to your or someone else's death. Imagine if one day you're out driving your car. You've remembered how to drive. But imagine if you didn't remember that when you approach a red traffic light, you're meant to stop. You've completely forgotten that part of the highway code, that you must stop when the light is red. And you're driving around 40 miles per hour and you just drive straight through. Well, what could happen? Either you yourself could be killed in a car accident, or you could end up killing someone else. It's so important that we remember. We remember the rules for driving. We take it for granted. We do it every day. We drive and we know what those rules are. And yet we need to remember them. And in our communion season, we have been focusing on the significance of remembering. There is God who knows everything, and in that sense, he remembers everything. But in how God relates to his people, there are certain things he chooses to remember And then there are other things that he chooses not to remember. That's what we saw in our pre-communion service through the psalmist David from Psalm 25. David prays in Psalm 25, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me." So David there, in his prayer, he really believed that it was possible for God not to remember those things David didn't want him to remember. And we have an abundance of evidence from Scripture that God does not remember, that is, he does not recall to his mind certain things about his people. God himself, speaking of how he would relate to his people through the new covenant, says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." What a sigh of relief we can give. God says to us, he says to you, if you are in Christ and you have confessed your sins, I will remember those sins no more. It's a great reassurance for God's people that he does not recall their sins and bring them up to them. Earlier today in our communion service, we focused on what Christ commands his people to remember. They are to remember his body broken and his blood shed for them. They're to remember Christ in his death, because through his death we have what we need most: forgiveness of our sins and redemption. In our text for this evening, John 16 verse 4, Jesus counsels his disciples to remember words that he spoke to them after instituting the Lord's Supper. "But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you." In other words, I'm saying them now to you, because soon I'm not going to be with you. And it's going to be important for you to remember what I'm saying to you now. The things Christ has just told his disciples began three chapters back in verse 7 of chapter 13. It would have taken considerable time to read all of that material up to chapter 16 and verse 4 and beyond. But Christ seems to have especially in mind things he has told them about the future. What is going to happen in the future? What kinds of things they're going to face? What trials they're going to face? What temptations they're going to face in his absence? It's going to be difficult for them. He is not going to be there in person. But they will have two things. They will have his word, and Christ will send the helper who will help them to remember his word. And that word will make a difference for them. He says, "These things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them." There is coming a time when certain things are going to happen to you, disciples, and you will need to remember what I've told you. It will be important for you to remember my words to you when this time comes, when these times come. And that will empower you to stand firm in your faith and not to forsake the faith under pressure. And the disciples would indeed come under great pressure to forsake their faith. What Christ said to the 11 disciples at this time applies just as much to his disciples in all ages still. And this underscores the general principle that for all who profess Christ as their Saviour, it is of the utmost importance that they remember God's word. We are to remember Christ's words. We are to remember God's word. And we have even more of God's word than the disciples had. They had the words of the Lord Jesus, and they were dependent on the Holy Spirit helping them to remember those words. We have the words written down, and we can go back to them again and again and see what Christ actually said. We also have other words that Christ has given through his apostles. We have the letters. We have a written record of all the Old Testament. We have all of the New Testament. It's all God's word. And the application of this verse is that we are to remember that word. We are to remember particular verses and sections of it at particular times when we come under pressure or when we're tempted and we might forsake the faith. Well, we're going to look at three reasons this evening why it is of the utmost importance that we do remember God's word. First of all, remembering God's word is essential for spiritual growth. Remembering God's word is essential for spiritual growth. From your childhood into young adulthood, you will all have spent many hours every week studying at school, or maybe even at home, a variety of subjects. And the purpose in it was that you would remember the material you studied for exams that you would have to take. And in passing those exams, you would be prepared for life. The purpose of it all was so that you could provide for your physical and material needs while you're in this world. But we are more than flesh and blood. And God has placed eternity in the heart of man, giving man an immortal soul that will exist forever beyond this life. We have spiritual needs that are even more urgent than our material needs. Because of the effects of sin, the soul is spiritually dead. When we come into this world, we are not for God, and we're very much against him. And if we die in that condition, our eternal destiny is eternal condemnation. Our souls desperately need to be brought to life. And the ordinary means God uses in bringing a soul to life is through a knowledge of his word. Gospel knowledge is essential for us in order for us to be brought to spiritual life. And even gospel knowledge on its own is not sufficient. We need God's Holy Spirit to be at work upon us, convincing us of the truth of God's word, revealing to us the gospel, bringing us to the point where we truly see and believe that we are sinners and we are in need of salvation. The Spirit, through our knowledge of God's word, must convict us of sin so that we confess our sins and we repent of them and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. The Spirit of God breathes life into our souls so that we become spiritually alive. And when that happens, that is not the end. That is only the beginning. You are to remember what you are. From that point on, you are a new creature in Christ. And without regular exposure to God's word, you will soon fall back into this world and into the ways of this world. You must keep in your mind God's word. You are to remember it. So much study and remembering is required to equip us for success in the world. There are basics like counting, reading, and writing which are essential. We just take them for granted. We've learned them from our earliest years. And they must be remembered and applied day after day if a person is to know any kind of success in this world. If you're to be equipped for the next world of heaven, then there must be a remembering and an application of God's word. A key verse, or key verses, are 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17. I'm sure you all know it off by heart. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's why having a daily time of devotions is important. As you read God's word, you are reminded of what God has spoken. You're reminded of what he is saying to you. And what a privilege we have. We have God's word written down. How easy it is to forget it. And we need to be reminded of it, thus we come back to it day after day, and we read it and we're reminded. Oh yes, that's what God says to me about this. That's what he says to me about that. I'd forgotten that. But when we come back to the word, we are reminded, and then we remember it again. We can thank God that we have this written revelation. We're not dependent on someone else transmitting the message to us and wondering whether they might have got something wrong. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's nothing wrong. It's from God. It's all correct. It's all true. And it's for our benefit and for our spiritual growth. As you study God's word, you store it up in your mind and in your heart, and you recall it from time to time as circumstances determine, and it affects your conduct, so that your life, instead of being characterized by sin, is characterized by righteousness. Remembering God's word is essential for spiritual growth, and we need to be growing spiritually. If we're not growing spiritually, then we will be declining spiritually. And if we continue to decline spiritually, we're really on very shaky ground. Secondly, remembering God's word is essential for navigating life's decisions. Remembering God's word is essential for navigating life's decisions. Throughout life, we're always making decisions. There are occasions when we make big decisions, important decisions, decisions that can affect our lives for good or for ill. And we say to ourselves, I better make the right decision here. People decide who their friends are going to be. And your friends, whoever they are, can influence your attitudes, your thoughts, and your success or lack of success. There are decisions that people make in life which are really bad and end in tragedy for them. Even in choosing the closest friends, the Christian needs to remember what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Insofar as it's possible, the Christian's best friends will be other Christians. Young people, there will be decisions you will have to make in life. And you will perhaps feel there's no clear direction. What area am I going to choose to study in for the future? Maybe you don't know. You say, I haven't a clue what I want to do in the future, what I should study for the future. What kind of work am I going to do? Who will I marry? Or will I marry? Where am I going to live? What church am I going to attend? In navigating your way through these and other decisions in life, you will find help from those Christian friends who are closest to you. Maybe even in your own family. And ultimately, you are to recall God's word to you. Remember God's word. He speaks to you. And if you look into his word, he will guide you through his word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And it's not any different for those who are older. Throughout your life, you need to remember God's word. Examples could be deciding upon whether you should or shouldn't change your job, when you should retire, how you should spend your free time, how you should use your money, how much you should give to the cause of the gospel. In all your decisions, you are to be guided by God's word, as long as you remember God's word and submit to his word. God will lead you on good paths. They may not always be easy paths, but they will still be good paths. And your life will bear fruit, and the decisions you take will be wise, and you will prosper others, and you will glorify Christ your Savior, as long as you remember in all your decision making to see what God says in his word. How different this way of living is from the world. The world doesn't approach life like this at all. Doesn't think about what God is saying. Could it be that for someone in all your decisions in life, you don't recall God's word to mind at all? God is excluded. Christ is excluded. His word is ignored. Your decisions are based solely on what you want out of life. Well, that's the way of the world, and it's the most popular way today, to live according to how you feel. And if you continue that way without remembering and looking to God's word, be prepared for a bumpy ride. There are consequences to your decisions that may prove to be costly to your contentment in life and may cause hurt to yourself and to others around you. How much better for you if you would be it would be for you to order your life according to God's ways. And the best decision you could take and that you would make is the decision to follow Christ. And if you make that decision, God would be with you. And he would guide you in all the other decisions of your life as you submit yourself to his word. He will show you the next step on your path through life as you're reminded of certain verses, of what he says in those verses. He will make your path clear. And then also, how sad it is that there are people who profess faith in Christ and who have bought into this idea of living in accordance with how they feel, justifying sinful conduct because of how they feel, regardless of what God says. And you have to wonder about such people. Did they ever look at their Bibles at all when they first professed faith? What was their conversion based on? And did it ever have any foundation? Believer, part of your calling as a disciple of Christ is that you remember God's word is essential for navigating life's decisions. The third reason why we're to remember God's word is because remembering God's word is essential for withstanding trials and temptations. And this is particularly relevant to our main text in John 16 and verse 4. When Jesus says to his disciples, "But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them." And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. The things that Christ has told them about in the previous chapter is that they would be hated by the world. They would have to undergo great trials because of their preaching of the gospel and because of their stand for Christ. They could also be tempted to relinquish the faith because of the pressure. The Apostle Paul indicates that he was troubled by temptation in the latter half of Romans chapter 7. If when you're tempted you don't have a Bible verse in your mind, or if you intentionally don't make an attempt to remember Scripture at all, you're very likely going to yield to the temptation. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he was tempted by the wilderness by Satan before embarking on his ministry, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was very hungry. And Satan came to him and he said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread." And what did Jesus do? He remembered Scripture. He remembered Scripture and he answered accordingly. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And with each temptation, Jesus remembered Scripture and answered with Scripture. When Satan took him up into the holy city and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." How did Jesus respond? Well, once again, he answered with God's word. "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." There was Satan even trying to use Scripture to trip up the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus responds by correcting him in his misuse of Scripture. "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then with a third temptation, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And Satan said to the Lord Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus again remembered Scripture, and he answered, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now, if the Lord Jesus, the sinless Son of God, felt it necessary to recall Scripture to ward off Satan, and to know success in resisting temptation and in overcoming it, how much more must we, who are sinful, weak creatures, recall Scripture when tempted, if we are to know any success in overcoming the temptation? Part of the Apostle Paul's instructions to the Ephesians for being able to stand against the wiles of the devil, was that they were to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And it's the same when you're facing trials. Remembering certain parts of God's Word can greatly help the Christian in the midst of a trial. What encouragement that previous section in John chapter 15 must be to believers experiencing persecution today. Verses 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. What a helpful explanation to a persecuted believer in some Middle Eastern country, being persecuted by their own family. They look at these verses and they say, look, what I'm experiencing, it is no surprise. The Lord Jesus has told me there is a possibility that the world will hate me, that those who do not love him, they will not love me either. Those who hate the Lord Jesus, they will hate me. This is what I'm experiencing. And so there's a certain empathy there, coming out of the pages of Scripture to such people in the midst of their fiery trial. Believer, whatever trial you may be facing now, if you can look at it through the lens of Scripture, if you can remember a relevant portion of God's Word in your situation, that will make a difference to you. Through his Word, God will supply you with sufficient grace in the midst of that trial and for each day. For as long as we are blessed with the capacity to remember, let us remember Christ's death and the spiritual blessings that flow from it. And let us remember too his Word. His Word is essential for your spiritual growth. It is essential for you to navigate life's decisions, and it is essential for you to withstand the trials and the temptations this world throws at you. And as you remember God's Word, God also remembers you, and he will supply all your need, enabling you to live your life to his glory. Amen.